the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
I'm Charlie McCarron.
And I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
And today we're going to be talking about Robo Rally Transformers Edition. So, in Robo Rally Transformers, players are Transformers, which, for those who don't know, are transforming robots capable of changing into mundane vehicles such as cars.
Motorcycles,
or buses, airplanes, trucks, or whatever. They're sentient, of course, because they're robots. And in the...
Cybertron.
Yeah, in the lore... From Cybertron? Is that the name of their
home planet? I believe that's their home planet.
Well, in the lore of this game, these Transformers have come to the planet Velocitron to participate in the planetary race to determine who will rule the planet, as is Velocitronian custom. So the game takes place on a board where there are stands with, I guess, robot spectators. I think canonically the inhabitants of Velocitron are also robots.
They must be.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Velocitron myself.
But this is of course a remake of the classic game Robo Rally, which had a slightly different theme.
One of Richard Garfield's first games.
Yes, right? That's right. But in any case, so the way this works is you've got your Transformer, your robot, and you are trying to make it to a series of checkpoints in order. So in the game we played, there were four different flags on the board. So you had to touch flag one, then flag two, then flag three, then flag four.
Super easy. Yep.
Yeah. The board is a square grid, with a variety of obstacles on it, more on that in a bit. But the main way that you get around is every round you have movement cards, which have like go forward, turn left, strafe right, rotate 180 degrees or whatever. And you program them face down, five cards face down, and then you take turns revealing a card and resolving it. And that's how you move around. So, you know, you'll make plans for how you're going to move, but they might be spoiled by other robots who get in your way or push you around or, you know, what have you. Also, players have guns and can shoot each other. And players can also transform between their two forms, the robot form and the car form or bike or bus.
Vehicle
form. And the main difference between the two forms, well, for one, robots can shoot forward or either direction, left or right, while cars can only shoot forward. That's one difference. The other difference is that they interact with obstacles differently. For example, cars can drive on roads on the board, which lets them go faster. Cars can also drive off ramps, which lets them fly through the air and
do cool tricks.
Yeah, and potentially fly over pits of lava without falling in. And in the robot form, you can go into buildings. You can stand on conveyor belts and be moved along. So, you know, there's a number of differences between the two forms. And I think mostly they have to do with how the obstacles interact with you.
Yeah, between that and the weapons, and some, you know, especially unique equipment can interact differently with your different forms.
Yes, thank you. That is the other thing, which is there are upgrades. So each player starts with three upgrades in their hand, and you can get more. The resource in the game is Energon cubes. There are a variety of ways to get Energon cubes, but basically you spend those on upgrades, and you also spend them to use some of the special abilities on the upgrades. So I think that's a pretty decent overview of the game.
Yeah. I think, like, it must have been one of the first programming type games, movement programming.
I imagine so, pretty
and
early on.
Yeah. That's, to me, like, the key fun part of the game is putting out this line of cards that lets you move left or rotate left or move backwards, forwards, and so on. And yeah, there's been a lot of... We're going to have to do a series on programming games someday, too.
For sure.
Because since then, there have been some really awesome ones that built on this idea. But yeah, that's the fun chaos is really where these like funny interactions where I'm planning my turn for the ideal scenario.
Right. If no one interacts with me, I will be perfect. This will be perfect.
Which at the beginning, sure. Yeah, there's not too much. But as soon as you converge on that checkpoint, like there's going to be so much chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when we were playing with five players.
Was it five?
Yeah.
I think we had five people.
Oh, we didn't go up to six. Oh, man, I thought it was six. So one thing I didn't quite catch if you said it, Ananda, but we programmed the cards and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But everyone activates one at a time.
Right.
And so you don't know exactly what's going to happen by the time you get to your fifth card.
Yeah.
So things could really get changed up and moved around. Unlike Heat, where all of your cards are resolved at the same time together for your turn. This one, every card is resolved individually, which is why it does take a little bit longer to resolve, too.
Yeah.
Especially if people get distracted.
Yeah, because even after you flip it, it's not automatic. There's some decision-making of, like,
there can be,
who will I shoot, or...
Yep, and I could transform into a different mode if I spend an Energon Cube. Yep. Like, there's a lot of different things.
Could use an upgrade or not. And,
right,
yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
So one thing that's kind of interesting is all of the obstacles, because... The rules behind them are actually fairly complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a reference sheet that has a short description, but then if you go look in the rule book, there is a lot going on for each one and a lot of clarifications that need to be made.
Yeah.
But in general, the obstacles work more or less the way you would expect. Like, you know, you drive off a ramp. Okay.
It's going to move me further, but how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, the basic thing that you need to know going off a ramp is however many moves you did before going onto the ramp, that's how many spaces you'll fly off the end. But then there's also things like, well, okay, you can't go onto the ramp from another side because it's a ramp.
And it doesn't mean anything if you're in the robot form.
Right, because, you know, it's a robot.
Yeah, they're not wheels. They're not.
They don't do that. So there's a lot of rules about the obstacles, but they all... work using, I guess, the principle of realism, however players think it should work.
Yeah.
Which makes it fairly easy to remember how the things work.
Intuitive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are a couple of weird cases, like, for example, the corners on roads. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter which direction you approach it from.
You get to rotate. That is a kind of a weird one.
Unless it was different in the rule book. Actually, we didn't look it up in the rule book.
Yeah, we only looked at the cheat sheet.
Maybe that is how it was. Now that I say that.
Yeah. Well, I'll launch into my takeaway. I think for me, it's interesting to see a race game that's just an open square board. Kind of.
Yeah.
The checkpoints get placed wherever, and you just try to make it there. And normally in a race game, you think like, oh, yeah, you need to have a track so that players can, you know, take corners or... do a little bit of like trying to corner faster by taking a risky route. But this is like, you could take any route you want.
Yeah. And Charlie and I booked off left, like not even using the road at all. And
when the interesting thing to me when we started was, I was like, well, how are we going to have the fun interactions if we're all just like going off in different directions? But as soon as we all got to that first checkpoint, we all got there around the same time.
Uh-huh.
And
we all started pushing each other and pushing each other into lava or whatever.
Yep. So kind of like we talked about with Heat, too. It's like these corner checkpoints in Heat are the catch-up for everybody else. And the checkpoints in Robo Rally work the same way, but just on an open world.
And a chaos standpoint.
Yeah. Everyone has to cross the checkpoint. And... if you're the leader, people are going to target you with weapons, which when you get hit, you take a damage card, which usually could be scrap that slows you down in your moves or other random bad effects.
Yeah, it's analogous to Heat or stress. Well, I guess stress more than Heat in that it takes up space in your hand until you use it.
Right.
Unlike stress, it doesn't mean play a random card, although I think that would probably be more fun, actually, now that I think about it.
I'll just play
that would be way better. Scrap just does nothing, right? If you want to get rid of it, you have to put it in a register and you just do nothing on that register. But I'm imagining, what if they made it like stress, and so you draw a random card
and just put it there?
You're going off in the totally wrong direction. Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
You turn left and now you're going to move three. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I wonder if they had that in testing and they're like, well, like there was one point where Ananda ended up accidentally thinking left was right and...
I turned the wrong way.
And yet he still somehow got to the first checkpoint before me.
Yeah, Trevor predicted it somehow.
But now that I say that, actually, it occurs to me that in Heat, the range of things that can happen randomly when you draw a card is pretty narrow. It's just how far do you go?
Right.
Whereas in Robo Rally, a single card could wildly change what your robot ends up doing. Yeah. So it's probably for the best that they don't draw it randomly.
Maybe. Yeah. But still funny.
I mean, it would be funnier.
It would be way funnier.
Yeah.
For racing games, I really, really appreciate the programming concept because it feels much more like being neck and neck and you've already decided this course of action and then things have to play out until you can kind of get a grip on the scenario again. I really do appreciate that as the racing game core. The only hard part for me is having all the other steps in between the programming. And so, like, if you're resolving it, fights each time and, like, different abilities each time in between programming steps, like, I kind of want all the programming to resolve first and then do the cool stuff.
Sure.
Or, like, maybe the cool stuff augments your programming. So, like, instead of moving three, I can actually reduce that by one if I'm going off in the wrong direction, which I did for the second checkpoint. I accidentally turned around and ran away from the checkpoint three spaces.
Yeah, I guess the one thing we haven't talked about is how long the game took.
Yeah.
And we actually we had to cut it short, unfortunately. So
I think
we played
made it to the second.
Two checkpoints, which still was like almost 2 hours.
Yeah, 2.5 hours, I think.
Yeah, so five player, obviously. But
yeah, we were playing with a high player count.
But it did feel like it showed its age a little bit, whereas like I feel like I don't know when they made the Transformers edition, but
not too long ago.
Recently.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well.
But that's, the change of having them shift into vehicles would make it so they can go faster on roads.
Sure.
So maybe that was kind of a guidance towards that solution, right? So that you can get there faster.
Yeah.
But.
Or, you could just say, let's play two checkpoints in this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we felt equally as satisfied, probably, as we would have if we went, like, it's kind of like Heat. If, hey, you just want to do one lap, do that.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. So, yeah, my takeaway, I was kind of building towards it. But programming in a racing game, I think, is a really good thing. And even Heat has it to a certain extent, too. So I think really having some kind of pre-plan of what you're doing is really important for racing, and then being able to kind of react to that, because obviously in Robo Rally you are able to use abilities in between programming steps, which I think is good for the programming mechanic, because then you can kind of augment what you're doing, but having it be that frequent does extend the play a bit, and so being able to kind of react to that faster, or have that not five program cards, maybe three, but still having that core programming be part of it, I think is really important or really interesting.
Yeah. I just had a thought here about, it's escaping me. I'll come back to it.
So one thing I'd like to mention is the pit stops.
Oh yeah.
So pit stops are, one of the, I guess, obstacles, one of the hazards, but they're not really hazardous. They're
inverse
good.
Hazard.
Yeah. So basically, if you're on a pit stop place at the end of a register, and by register, I mean, there's five registers in a round. Each one has one card.
A programming step.
Yeah. So after you move with one of your cards, if you're on a pit stop, you get any combination of two Energon or one Energon or repair one damage twice. Mm-hmm. So you could like gain two Energon or repair two damage. And one might, and this actually can be pretty crazy if you just stay on the pit stop the whole round.
Yeah.
Because five registers, right? You're on there for the whole round. That's 10 energon, which is the maximum amount that you can hold at once.
Completely heal, too. You have max hand size of 10.
Yeah. Which is good, I think, because there are times in the game where you need to not move.
Yeah.
And for a racing game, that can be a little bit painful, being stuck in one place. And I think this leads me to my takeaway, which is that if you have a racing game where people occasionally need to stay in one place, give them a place to stay where they get some advantage.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you park in the middle of a board, that's not great. But if you park yourself on a pit stop, you know, then you're going to get a bunch of stuff and probably going to be able to do some upgrades next turn.
Yeah, don't park in front of a laser beam like I did. That's not a good recommendation.
Yes, that is a bad parking spot. The game also has an energon programming card where you don't move, but you get an energon cube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the laser thing just—it's really fun. The most fun part of Robo Rally is like the chaos that happens,
where
and seeing how badly someone's program screwed them up. And so, yeah, that's my secondary takeaway. Like, just how much fun can be had by random events happening. And even though, yes, there's a lot of planning out what you're doing, when the plan goes awry, it's like your fate has been sealed anyways, so it doesn't feel as bad. And it's more like, as long as the group is into that kind of chaos, we'll talk about more in the next episode too.
about chaos.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the appeal of Galaxy Trucker, right?
Yeah.
Losing can be fun if it's fun to see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. I did remember what I was going to bring up too, is the idea of like, I wonder if this is kind of a pitfall of some racing games when you're trying to design a racing game, like that what you're doing is often the same thing over and over again on your turns. And I was thinking about this because Robo Rally, I said, well, we played half the game and I think we felt like we got through everything. Like, there would have been more fun, silly things happening for the next 2 hours. But I think we got the arc that we wanted to out of that game. And Heat, likewise, feels like it has a good arc, and then it gets out. But so that's my word of warning to designers, is like, make sure there is an arc of some sort in your racing game so that you players feel like there's some progression, and not just in terms of, oh, we're almost at the end of the race.
Right.
Like, what is it that's changing from each turn? And in Heat, it's you're getting these extra cards. Heat cards into your deck, and it gets more spicy as the race goes along. So, yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, that wraps up Robo Rally. Tune in next time for Thunder Road Vendetta.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.